Hi, this is Aunt Rebecca in Gardening Related, out here in beautiful, sunny Canby, Oregon. And this is...
This is Elizabeth over in New York. Don't make me jealous talking about all your sun.
But listen, it's rude. Rare. This is like the second day all winter that we've had sun. So that's why I'm bragging. Only because, I mean, most of the time, when I talk to my best friend, Jeannie, who lived up here, when I talked to her about moving up here, I said, what's the winters like? She said, it's like twilight for 6 months.
Oh, my God.
Morning, noon, and night. All the light is twilight. And I was like, no, she's exaggerating. But this January, it's been twilight.
Yeah, that's kind of how it is here, too. It's just been so gray and cold. We're going to get down into negative 10 this week. Everyone's freaking out about it.
What are you going to do with your chickens?
I think I'm going to make them some soup? Oatmeal. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Some soup. Yeah. Just like put a bunch of things, give them warm things just to keep their little beaks and toes warm.
Do you think that if you gave them a crappy blanket out there that they'd crawl under it?
I don't think so. I don't think they know how to do a blanket. You know?
I do. Do you think that if you gave them another electric heater, light bulb thing?
They have two lights in there now, and they also have a heated water bowl. I mean, they're living the high life. They're in the Hilton of chicken coops. So
yes, they are.
You know, it's not like they're. Yeah, it's just going to be cold and miserable for everyone. I'm going to give them some, you know, warm broth. I don't know. I think I'm going to make like compost broth.
I think that's a great idea, frankly. Lettuce soup.
Maybe fry up some eggs that they laid out of the box a couple of times, so I haven't collected them. They've been sitting out there for a couple of days, so the eggs are like, I don't want to eat them. Frozen, maybe cracked. I don't know. So yeah, I think I'll fry those up for them. Give them some hot eggs and something.
I think that's a great idea. Bless their hearts. I wish they knew about blankets.
Yeah, but they're chickens, so they're...
I know.
That's what they got. This is their lot in life.
Well, don't feel bad. Lily, my kitty cat, one of my kitty cats, I pull her under the covers, and she starts going deeper into the covers instead of getting her head up. And she'll go down to my feet and then be lost and really angry and start biting my toes, and then it gets really interesting. It's bad.
You got to fish her out of there.
I know.
Get a cat toy and kind of lure her out.
Somehow the cat doesn't understand being under the blankets. Put your head up in the crook of my arm and sleep and purr contentedly. It's a learned thing. She still has to learn.
It took Tico a while to learn that too. And now he's a pro at it, and he loves blanket time.
Oh, I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad.
Yeah, you'll have a good snuggler in a bit.
So Haunt and I looked up, because we're going to start growing delphiniums this week.
Yeah.
We looked up the phases of the moon, and this is the last phase of the moon where it's waxing. It'll be a full moon by the end of the week or so.
Yes.
And so this right now, this week, is a really good time. It is, what's the date today? The 1st of the 30th. God, January has lasted a whole year to me. this is January 30th, 2023. It's Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Good. and the moon is waxing, which means that it's growing. And that's a really good time to plant any seeds of plants that you want to grow above ground. Not your potatoes, not your carrots, not your beets, but the other stuff that grows above ground. And secondly, you had suggested that we start talking about soil. And I think that's a great idea.
Right? Yeah. Now is the time we're thinking about prepping our gardens. We're, you know, getting our ducks in a row, thinking about planting. So you plant on the waxing moon. Can you also plant on the new moon?
You can plant on the new moon, but the things that you want to plant when the moon is getting smaller and darker are the things that grow underground. Your carrots, your beets, your potatoes.
Okay.
Things like that. Got your onions.
Got it. Okay.
And all the flowers and all of the tomatoes and all the peppers and stuff like that, the germination pulls up for the waxing moon.
That makes sense. That makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Good. So I've been looking up soil. I remember learning about this in Master Gardener class, and they went over soil for several weeks. You need to understand, and I will do what I can today. This is a huge topic.
It is.
And it's one that everybody knows to look into if you're a gardener. So everybody's going to have different questions. My sand's too clay. My sand's too sandy. My something won't grow. So I'm going to give you some basic outlines. And then I highly recommend that what I don't say here, you guys go look up on your own. One of the first things they taught us in this class is that you go out to your garden when you're ready to start working your soil and maybe even planting. And grab a fistful and make your hand into a fist. Where's my microphone? There you are. And make your hand into a fist and then let it go and see if the soil stays in a big wet ball or if it starts to flake off. If it's a big wet ball, it's too wet. And you can ruin your garden by working in too wet a soil.
So that would be like a clay, like a finer clay?
It's just whatever the soil you have, if it stays in a ball, whatever soil you have, if it stays in a ball, it's too wet. That's the first thing. Because when you work in too wet soil, what you do is you make clods. And clods will not grow seeds or plants into them. They turn into little concrete balls. So you have to wait until the soil is what they call friable or soft enough to work. If it starts to flake and it starts to kind of fall apart a little bit in your hand, that's a good time to work it.
Got it. Got it. Okay. All right.
And I don't care what your schedule is. You know, it's like, but I've only got this weekend and then I have to wait a month. Okay, wait a month. Because you'll be ruining your garden if you don't.
Yeah. Okay. So let it dry out.
Let it dry out a little. Pay attention to your weather. You can go out there today and it'll fall beautifully, but it's going to pour rain for the next week. I mean, unless you get everything done in one day and then you're watering your garden. There's two things to consider with soil. Two things, fertility and texture. Okay. And there's three things to consider that a plant needs. And this has to do with those two things plants need three things. They need water, they need sun, and they need air. Air in the soil.
Yes.
Which has to do with texture. They also need food, but we'll talk about that later. So one of the things that I want to say, because I know that a lot of people go, oh, I've just got pure clay here. It's just, I mean, I often joked about it in Taos where I could have built my own home out of my own backyard from adobe.
You probably could have. Yeah.
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 However, the good news about clay, and there is good news about it, is that it's full of nutrients. It is not a sterile thing where sand, you know, the water runs off it and it's
so
got
do
no
the nutrients.
Yes. Yeah. And it doesn't hold nutrients in it. So when you've got clay, if you can figure out a way to break it up, it's a good thing. When Haunt and I moved out of the city, out of San Francisco and into Marin, we moved into a double compacted clay backyard. I couldn't get a shovel in it. I couldn't even get the tip of a shovel in my backyard. And so I watered it overnight, and I could get an inch maybe in after watering it overnight. Because there was a little creek running behind it, this development had brought in clay and double compacted it so that it wouldn't wash away the house that was built on it.
Oh, I see. I see.
I was fit to be tied. So I found a farmer who desperately wanted to get rid of the sheep manure in this hut, this large hut. So Haunt and I went and chipped away and threw in, what was it, 7 truckloads of sheep manure into our truck, hauled it to
sheep,
our backyard.
Like Baba sheep?
Baba black sheep, yes, sheep. Threw it into our backyard, piled it up there, watered it in, rented a tiller, and the tiller bounced off the soil.
Oh my God.
So we watered it in some more, and finally, we got that manure not all the way in, but it was tilled enough that it was about 4 or 5 inches down.
Okay.
So I had 4 or 5 inches of clay and 6 inches of manure mixed together. And the first year, it was fabulous because it was all this yummy manure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everything sprouted up and grew and was like crazy. And then the rains came and it kind of died. Everything died. Huh. It flooded and died because what I'd done is I'd created a bathtub.
Oh, no.
So the next year, I began to get smarter. I was taking Master Gardener classes, and I began to get smarter. And they talked to me about bathtubs in class. And if you have clay, I highly recommend that you put some serious manure down, water it in, and try to dig it in like I did a little bit. That'll give you at least a running start on the base. And then pay some serious money and buy garden soil from the best place you can find. And lift those babies up. Because I had to start over 3 years. I lost everything I had 3 years running because it would just rot.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Huh.
Wow. For those people with clay, know that you have nutrients. Know that you can amend your soil. I had a very famous, fabulous friend named Kate Fry who went to the Chelsea Garden Show. She improved this garden, this land for this garden on Fry's Vineyards. It was amazing. But it took her 10 solid years.
Yeah. Yeah. Soil is built slowly, right? Good soil.
And she knew everything. So Kate was as smart as they come. She knew everything. She knew compost and friable and this and that. She knew all the tricks of the trade. You can add agricultural lime to break up the clay. You can add manure. You can add straw. You can add sand.
And the good thing about adding agricultural lime is it makes all of those nutrients available in the clay, right?
That's right.
So it breaks them up and it makes them available. So it's basically like adding a fertilizer because suddenly the plants can actually use the nutrients that are there.
Yes. But it's also important to note that I was trying to figure this out and I went to one of the teachers and I said, I have clay. It's horrible. I need to add sand. And he said, do you know how much sand you have to add to get clay kind of malleable, friable? I said, how much? 80%.
Whoa. Wow. Oh my gosh. That's so.
It would be horrible.
Wow. That's crazy. So
clay. And that's not adding all the food.
Yeah. Yeah. So clay is small molecules, the smallest. And then you have silt, which is kind of in between. And that's silt or loam. That's what we want, right? Loam is like gold standard. We're swimming in the good stuff.
Yeah.
And then sand is the largest kernel. So everything washes out of it.
Right.
Just so we get our vocabulary all clear.
That's right. Also, if you're a very young couple starting out and you don't have a lot of money, so you can't spend outrageous amounts of money on topsoil. You know, I can't tell you how much money we've spent on topsoil to lift our beds out of the clay so that I could start gardening right away. If you don't have that and you have patience and time, you can amend your soil.
You can
do that.
Yeah.
And you could, and if I were you and I were not real wealthy and young and had the patience, I would hit up every grocery store in town for their for their produce throwaways and put it in a compost pile. I would do that.
Green manure is another good way to add to your soil, because when the roots go down, they're accessing all of the good nutrients down there.
Yep.
Planting, if you plant perennials too, trees, perennials that have a larger root, they're able to get way, way, way down and pull up all of those nutrients. And then what I've learned with green manure.
Yes.
So you plant a hairy vetch or oat or barley, or some winter crop if you can. And you always have your soil active with a complement to what you want to plant there. And then when you kill it, the roots provide a compost in there as they decompose, right?
Yes. The roots and the top, because you flip it over.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you can just pat it down.
You can pat it down. Yeah. Also, there are specific plants, and I can't remember the names of them. All I can think of right now is cow parsley, and that's not it. But there are specific plants that have a large taproot that will break up clay.
Ah, yeah.
Like carrots or parsnips. They'll break up the clay. But carrots and parsnips have to have loose soil at the beginning because they're hybridized. But there are, like cow parsley and some others, that
tillage radish. Tillage
plantain. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And plantain, not the bananas, the other one.
But the wild one that grows in. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. White man's footsteps.
Yes. Those guys will absolutely help break up the soil,
mm-hmm.
but it will take you years.
Mm-hmm.
And each year you get better and better until you finally are getting 8-foot tomatoes that can grow down there, and, you know, a foot and a half carrots and stuff.
Yeah.
If you want to grow carrots, grow them in something like a trough, where you can control, first of all, the animals, and second of all, how deep the trough is depends on how long you want your carrots to be. And you fill only that up with perfect soil, and that you can afford for 1 year. And the next year, you know, you grow them again, but you feed them a lot. The next thing I want to talk about, and I know I'm rushing through a lot of this, is your pHs. pH, I didn't know this until today because I had forgotten. pH goes from 1 to 14.
Mm-hmm.
7 is neutral. I always thought 7 was high because everybody goes, oh, most plants like, you know, between 5 and 6.5. And I thought, okay, well, that's neutral. It's not. That's slightly acidic.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I'm going to save a huge amount of time and tell people, if you have a plant you're going to put in the ground, look it up for the pH. Do not assume you have one kind or the other, and go to the store like you did and go get a little soil tester. Or if you've got a Master Gardener program, go bring in your soil and they'll test it for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Test your soil, because knowledge is power. Right.
It's
if you
huge.
Know what you're it's, working with, you know how to amend. And then lime is really basic, right? So if your pH comes back like around 3 or 4, like the acidity of a lemon, you can add the lime.
You can add the lime.
Hopefully balance
and
it out.
There are a couple of key things in my life, only in my life, that I have to add serious amounts of lime to. And those are delphiniums, which I'm crazy about, and dahlias. Dahlias and delphiniums like sweet soil, alkaline soil.
Way.
Yes. So if you plant them close enough together, they'll have that still same sweet base. Now, if you don't have if you have too much sweet soil, if your soil comes back and it's, you know, 8 or 9.
11. Yeah.
11. You're going to have trouble growing your azaleas and your blue hydrangeas and your rhododendrons and your blueberries. Blueberries I planted in pure peat moss and they were fine.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because blueberries like
acid.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but they were like originally found in like pine forests, you know, they're an understory to pine forests, and pines are, of course, very acid. So it's, yeah, that's Sorry, we're having technical difficulties today.
I'm hitting my husband. Go away. Far, far away. I'm telling him that a lot more lately.
Oh, no. Cabin fever, right?
Yeah. So low acid is what? No, I don't mean that. If you need to lower your pH, you use stuff like sphagnum moss, mm-hmm. ammonium sulfate, and you can't use too much because there is something that will poison you if you eat blueberries with too much ammonium sulfate, especially in children.
Yeah.
So sulfur, acidic fertilizer, and iron sulfate. And I wanted to talk to you specifically about iron sulfate, because if your soil is on your lemon tree is mm-hmm. acidic, but your leaves are starting to turn yellow, it means that you need to boost them and you put ammonium sulfate in.
Oh, okay. No, there. So I planted it specifically in citrus soil.
Good.
No, was it a citrus? I know I have a citrus fertilizer.
That's good enough.
And I think it's just like really good soil. Like I got the expensive worm castings and all of the good. You know, yeah. Good. And then no. So update on the lemon.
Yeah.
This lemon that has been, you know, growing, that I feel like it's essentially a child. You know, we've been here, we're at month like 7.
Yeah.
And she's doing great. I put her on a humidifier, as you recommended.
And also you took her off the air vent, the air duct.
Yeah, I moved her to a sunnier spot.
Good.
And so she has a 24/7 humidifier just blowing right on her.
Well, I'm sure it helps you too.
She's in like the ICU of lemon trees. But she actually stopped losing her leaves a couple months ago. And just recently, I think like a day or two ago, I noticed that we have new growth on the branches that lost leaves. We have this tiny little bit of new growth. So she put out another little bud. And the lemon is huge. It's beautiful.
It's the only
juicy.
One, right? You cut
it's
off the other
one. It's just the only one.
So it is going to be huge.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge.
Yeah. And it is a third yellow.
Excellent.
So it is ripening.
So it's ripening.
Yeah.
So you've got it's it in ripening. The right amount of sun and heat and fertilizer and everything good. And Elizabeth, I'm so proud of you. And whatever you do with that lemon, you're going to enjoy it. Make a cake or lemonade or whatever.
I know. I've been thinking about it because it's like this is, you know, I use several lemons a week normally, but this is a very special lemon.
And it's a Meyer lemon. It's not a regular lemon. It'll be
It's
sweeter.
A Meyer lemon.
It'll be sweeter.
It's, yeah. So I think I'm going to do candied lemon slices.
That's
with
a
it.
Good idea. But what are you going to do with the juice?
Right. I don't know. Well, like maybe lemon bars or something.
Lemon chiffon pie.
Tiny little. Ooh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You'll figure it out. You're very, very, very creative about your cooking. And
thank you.
And obviously, if you have too much juice to know what to do with, freeze it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't think that'll happen.
I don't
from
either.
The one.
Not this one.
The one lemon.
But eventually you will. I used to send mother, you know, 10 or 15 lemons for Christmas because she loved lemon water and she would freeze them. She would freeze the the lemon juice.
She loved freezing things.
Yes.
Things was one of her favorite hobbies.
Tell me about it.
That freezer is notorious.
It's still down there. They couldn't get it up. They could not get it up those circular stairs that they had redesigned. Used to be a different staircase that they got it down. When they changed the staircase, that freezer's down there forever.
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 Anyway.
Yep, I bet her wedding cake is still in that freezer.
I hope not. I think we cleaned that out. I think we
did. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure.
What was I going to say to you?
So we were
talking about how to get your soil more acidic is by adding those kinds of things. And if you want it more alkaline, you add oyster shell, eggshells, dolomite lime, agricultural lime, those kinds of things. And to break up clay, you add agricultural lime or dolomite lime to your, they're not interchangeable. Well, they are interchangeable, but they're not the same thing. In a powdered sugar like fashion over your, over your garden, and then mix it in, till it in or shovel it through or mix it through somehow. When I plant my delphinium seeds, I'm going to plant them in a little bit of seed starter that I mixed with an itty bitty amount of lime. And then I'm going to and I'm going to put some garden soil underneath it in the same seed potting pot that I've also mixed with a little bit of sweetener to it. And then when I plant them out, I also add a nice tablespoonful to each gallon.
And that of lime,
a tablespoon of lime to each gallon of soil that I mix. And so then when I add it to the garden, I do a couple of handfuls in there and mix it in along with the manure, which is acidic. Manure is acidic. So what you're doing is you're trying to balance it all out and still give it a sweet soil as well as food.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I heard the coolest little technique for balancing the minerals, the various minerals needed in your soil. Because, you know, of course, everyone knows phosphorus, calcium,
potassium, all that stuff. Yes.
Yeah. Phosphorus, potassium,
nitrogen.
The other one.
Nitrogen.
But there's thousands of unknown, you know, other things that we need in our soil.
Yes.
Because it's a whole climate.
Yes.
So this one farmer recommended, if you have chickens, measure your soil, you know, figure out what is missing in your soil.
Yes.
And feed it to your chickens. So like, say my chickens were calcium deficient. Well, that's a super easy thing. And you should be feeding your chickens oyster shells or their own shells back to them so that they can become, you know, calcium rich and have nice strong shells. As they go through and poop in your yard, or you do a chicken trailer, chicken tractor, or you know, you take their bedding and put it on top of your garden
as compost
topper,
as
compost. It will incorporate all of the minerals that the soil is missing itself.
That's a great
idea. So you're balancing
idea.
Your chickens and you're balancing your soil.
Excellent. Also,
right? Isn't that so brilliant?
It's very brilliant. That's really a good idea. Also, I love that farmer for saying that, and I love you for remembering it. But chicken poop is very, very hot. In other words, if you put it right on a plant, fresh chicken poop, it'll burn the plant. It needs to be aged. So put it in your compost and let it age for 6 months or a year. Let that straw, chicken poopy bedding age and turn it in your compost. And then your whole compost will have that mineral as well as the chicken poop, because it's wonderful fertilizer.
It is.
But it's really hot. It's really, really hot. Now, there's one thing else I need to talk about before we before we go today, and that is, this is the time of year for people in, let's say, zones 7, 8, 9, and 10, 11, to start spraying your roses with neem or sulfur, and your trees, your peach trees, your apple trees, your stone fruit, your cherries, your your nectarine trees. You need to start spraying them with a sulfur mix, or a you ask your nurseryman what to spray them with, so they don't get peach leaf curl and they don't get scab and they don't get all this other stuff. And it's really important to do that. Last year, my roses all had black spot for the first time.
Oh, no.
For the first time in years, because we had such a rainy June.
Oh,
we hadn't had a rainy June in years, 10 years. And I thought, well, this is like California. This is great. But not last year. They all suffered. So I'm going to have to go out this year and spray them with sulfur, I think. I'll look it up, because I'm not even sure what I have to spray them with for black spot, but I will look it up and I will go. And so if I tell you to do something, you have to look it up first. Anyway.
Loose advice.
Yeah. Also, yes. This is the time when if you've got a tree branch that is cracking or down, now is the time to go cut that tree because the bugs aren't out and will not infiltrate.
Oh, yeah.
Now is the time to go cut those broken branches and those tree limbs and all that stuff. And for people that live in higher temperatures, like California, they always told me that the Super Bowl was the time to trim your roses.
Oh, that's funny.
And now that I'm in Oregon, they say President's Day is the time to trim your roses, to prune your roses.
So look up your zone. Yeah.
Look up your zone. And it's trying to avoid the frost.
Mm-hmm.
But spraying them is really, really important. And sometimes you need to spray them 2-3 times. So if you get an early start on a dry day, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. That's a really big deal.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And so, okay. So from what I've been reading in permaculture about soil,
yes.
You can build soil from the top down. Yeah. And you can also build it from the bottom
up. If you
up
dig it out.
With, you know, some, if you dig it out. But it's this complex living collection of organisms.
It is.
Right? Mm-hmm. You have hundreds of thousands of nematodes and all of these different little things.
Yes.
Microcosm. Yeah, this huge microcosm. And so, like, what you want to do is preserve it and feed them.
That's right.
Right? Like they're a pet almost.
Yes. They are. Your soil is a living organism.
It is. It is.
And if you treat it right, it will give you rewards 100-fold. If you don't, everything you put into it will not flourish.
Yeah. Yeah. I think of that one Mary Oliver poem where she talks about the god of dirt. And it just like, I don't know. It hits so right.
Can you remember it?
I actually have
good,
it
good,
right
good.
Here. Give me a minute,
okay?
Because I have to look. I have to look it
also,
up. But I have the book.
For those of you with hydrangeas that love blue hydrangeas, they need acid on them, acid fertilizer to turn blue. And I was asking a nurseryman once. I said, "Oh, is it?" I was February. Like now. And I said, is it too late to start? Mm-hmm. And she said, you can put an acid fertilizer on them year round.
Huh.
And I was like, okay. Why didn't I know that? Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. So go out there and throw some serious acid on your hydrangeas, acid fertilizer on your hydrangeas, and let God water it in and you'll be set.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh. Well, that's good to know. Yeah. So, And there's just so much to soil. There's so much. It's endless amounts. One of the books that I read recently that I found super interesting and helpful, and honestly, it just lit my hair on fire. Got me so excited about everything. Was Restoration Agriculture.
Interesting.
And it was fabulous.
Tell me
about
that.
He talks about absolutely everything. It's by Mark Shepard, Restoration Agriculture, Real World Permaculture for Farmers. So, you know, he's talking about this on a pretty large scale. But you can do it in your own backyard. And one of the things that he recommends is just building the soil. That is the most important thing. And how you do that is by mixing in, you know, your perennial plants with your annual plants.
Yes.
And the whole idea, this was absolutely so radical. So this is maybe a little blasphemous,
okay,
but I'm going to
blasphemy away. Yes.
Weeds are doing a really important job.
Yes.
Because they're covering the soil. Yes. The worst thing that you can have for soil is it to be exposed to the elements, because all of those important nutrients leach out fast. Air, evaporation, water, runoff, all of those things destroy soil. So when a weed is growing, it's actually protecting the soil. It's you know, giving it a little nutrients. It's digging down in there. It's feeding the nematodes
covering the soil.
So you need that. And it just makes so much sense. That's why you were saying earlier, plant thickly. Yes. You know, you need to plant thickly because you're protecting your soil and you're also getting something out of it. So always keeping your soil engaged and planted is a good thing.
And letting it rest.
Like in nature.
And letting it rest in winter through green mulch or some sort of a mulch is also a good thing. And put manure on it in the spring and let that rain in. And then plant your stuff in that. It's not sexy. Soil renovation and soil reclamation, it's not sexy. It's like building a house and having to deal with the plumbing. Nobody sees it, or the electrical. Nobody sees it, but you sure do want your toilet where you want your toilet working, and you want your lights working where you want your lights working. And while it's not sexy and it costs a fortune, it is the essentials in order to get a great garden. Haunt and I really learned that the first year when, you know, I put all this cheap, free sheep manure in the garden, and I thought I had it made, but I didn't count on the California rains to wash it all away and to drown my plants, because my plants literally drowned in too much water. It wasn't high enough.
That's terrible.
So 3 years I had to start over, which was really good in a way, because I had to learn. I learned all new plants every single year. Was like, okay, what am I going to put in? Because this didn't grow. This didn't grow.
Yeah.
I had to learn things, and I started a whole lot of seeds, and that helped with the pricing of stuff. One of the things, one of the things that a lot of my California gardening friends looked at my garden and went, my God, Rebecca, you've got things too close. And that's when I would say plant thickly. And they'd
plant thickly.
But they were used to very drought tolerant gardens where they would have a sage plant, a nice big shrub of sage, and 4 feet over in mulch, they would have another sage.
Yep.
And 4 feet over from that, they would have another sage. And that was their garden. And I learned that if I planted thickly, especially with little babies, you know, I'm planting seedling zinnias and cosmos and babies that will grow up, and scabiosas and bachelor buttons and poppies, they would shade that because I couldn't afford mulch. It was either manure or mulch, and I couldn't afford one of the, it was one or the other. It was going to be manure. But because I planted thickly, they shot up and they covered my soil so they didn't grow weeds. And so my girlfriends were looking at me going, why aren't there weeds in here? You don't have any mulch. And I said, because I plant thickly. Besides that, it gives your eye something more to rest on.
Yes, exactly. And soil likes being active. It's a symbiotic relationship. Yep. It wants to grow plants. So let it.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
If you have weeds coming up, maybe you need to plant more thickly.
Yes. And that's okay. And when you do have weeds coming up, and you always will, the first little bit in March, you know, when you get out there, suddenly it's like, this was fine when I left it last October. What the heck happened? Yeah. I've got all these weeds in there. And you may have, I don't know, 1,000 dandelion weeds in there. And you might want to leave them in.
Which are not weeds. They're actually
salad.
Super,
they're
super
salad.
Nutritious.
I know.
They're salad. They're tea. You can make a coffee substitute. Okay, sorry.
That's okay.
I love dandelions.
I know. But you don't want to have them year round where you want to plant your roses. Okay,
I guess
you
not.
Do.
Yeah.
You do. But others might not want to, because after a while, the dandelions will choke out everything else. Mm-hmm. They're prolific. So so you have a row of them in front and weed out the rest and put in your campanulas and your roses and your poppies and your bee balm for the bees and your, you know, milkweed for your butterflies and things like that. You have to make choices in what you do, but you can do it thickly And I read this very alarming thing in an English gardening magazine where true English gardens, the biggest famous ones, they redo mm-hmm. their garden beds every 3 years. I thought,
oh my God.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, oh my God, I'm just celebrating them getting started.
Yeah, that's insanity.
It's not if you ask people to come and look and that the soil gets used up by then.
Mm-hmm.
So what you need to do is throw more nutrients into your soil so that it isn't used up in 3 to 5 years. You will mm-hmm. notice. First year they sleep, second year they creep, third year they leap. And then after that, you need to start making amendments to your soil. I would just always get massive bags of steer manure from Home Depot at $1 a bag. And make sure that it was covered. The entire bed was covered with manure. So every time I watered, mm-hmm. it would rain in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One plant that I'm excited to plant and look at this year is comfrey,
yes.
which is like a soil amending super plant. You can bury leaves in your garden.
Really?
Right?
Yeah.
And yeah. And it will be a slow green manure that will amend soil beautifully.
Also the leaves.
And
are
you know, you can
so
create
soft.
This system where you're building up your soil and then you have this soil. Your nematodes are happy, your pH
worms.
Is balanced,
yeah.
and you're just adding. Yeah, you're adding to the depth of your soil. I read a horrifying thing. The other day in my permaculture book, which is one of the things that I like about permaculture, is it's solution based.
Yes.
It's not, you know, there's horrifying, fear-mongering
yes.
things in it, but then it provides solutions.
Yes.
So I can sleep at night. It's
I can understand
reading that.
That
I'm comfortable doing at night. I have good dreams.
I totally get that.
Right. And they were saying that with our current agricultural, specifically like massive agricultural methods,
yeah.
We lose 9 pounds of soil for every 1 pound of vegetable that we eat.
Isn't that something?
That's horrifying. I mean, you know, at this rate, we're going to be left with absolutely nothing to grow
we
in.
We are left in, with nothing to know, grow in. When the great... when our ancestors yeah. came across the Great Plains and started digging mm-hmm. to farm, mm-hmm. they had 14 feet of topsoil.
Ugh.
Now they have 6 inches.
Yeah.
Because yeah. they let it wash away. They let it run off. They didn't replenish because yep. they had so much.
Because we're planting these monocrops and then we're tilling it. And... it gives nothing. We're not leaving anything.
No.
You know, we rake up our leaves and we throw them out. Those are would-be soil leaves. You know, it makes no sense what we're doing. We need to plant vertically and diversely, and we could grow so much more and we could add to our soil instead of subtracting it.
It's hard to believe that people who just want a nice yard and a nice lawn and a couple of pretty flowers, they're like, so what does this involve me about? You know, what am I going to, I don't even know what comfrey looks like, let alone
it's a pretty plant.
It's, yeah. it's important to know that the garden that you're planting your flowers in and the lawn in which you're mowing and throwing lawn fertilizer into is hurting the birds.
Mm-hmm.
And killing the bugs. And that mm-hmm. while you may not want to dig out all of the weeds in your garden and just use, what's that called? Weed and seed? Anyway, it's easy, but it's killing the environment. And so mm-hmm. you can look up online and get a high school kid to dig out your weeds for you. You're doing two things. You're saving the birds. You're doing three things. You're saving the birds, the environment, and helping a high schooler.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, even if you say, so what, screw the environment, I don't care. There are beautiful things that you can grow, and you can do it in a way that is
enriching,
going to create less work for you in the long run, because you will add to your soil. You'll have better soil. You'll have better plants.
Yeah, people grew beautiful plants long before the chemical companies started developing fertilizers. Yeah. And they knew, yes. and it's not like, well, they're not as big as what I can grow with Miracle-Gro. They're not as fast growing as what you could get with Miracle-Gro, but they last longer.
I think it's shocking how quickly we forget that, you know, just a little over 100 years ago, there was no such thing as chemical fertilizer or bug repellent. We weren't using any of these things. And so when we had a tree that wasn't producing, or a pear tree that got scab, we let it die and we planted a better one. And that was, you know, creating this evolution of our plants instead of just killing all of the pests. And now we're evolving the pests, you know, because the strongest are going to come back, and we're never going to fully kill whatever plant or whatever fungus is out there. It's just going to come back stronger.
Yes. The more that you eradicate all of the stuff in the environment with a chemical that eradicates all the bugs, let's say like 7. Mm-hmm. Oh, don't get me started on 7. there's a product out there called 7, SEVEN, and it kills every bug in your garden, every bug, worms, butterflies, flies, mosquitoes, everything, everything kills the good and the bad. But the bad have a way of coming back fast, and the good that have been decimated can't fight them anymore. I used 7 on 2 dahlias that had terrible cucumber beetles on them. I used it only on 2 blossoms. And it killed those things, but all around there, the garden was way too quiet around those 2 dahlias, and I didn't like it at all. I'll never use it again. I mean, I don't know what excuse you can use, and I hear people say, oh, just throw some 7 on it. Don't do it. 7 is the nuclear bomb of gardening. And while I think there must be a place for it someplace, I can't imagine doing that.
I don't know. I think we've forgotten that we don't live in a bubble, that we are also just creatures on this earth, you know, that we're... You know, if you want your peonies to bloom, guess what? You need ants.
That's right.
If you want your soil to do anything besides, you know, be a brick clay, guess what? You need worms.
And manure.
You need all these little tiny, gross, crawly, creepy things.
That you can't even see and don't know that are there.
No. And they're helping you.
I think it's kind of like TV has ruined us for... creating some sort of a balance at night where we can talk about and feel about our feelings. And so we're unbalanced a lot because TV keeps taking up too much of our time. I think that with magazine pictures with perfect gardens, not a weed in sight, has created this, I need to have the perfect garden. 150 years ago, there was no such thing.
Yeah.
They grew the weeds, and you just saw the flowers through the weeds, and there it was. It was part of the environment. It was part of what kept the bees growing so that your tomatoes or your potatoes would pollinized.
Yeah.
The thing is that when we think that we have to have the perfect looking garden all the time, because that's what a magazine shows us looks good, it puts too much pressure on us. And by doing that...
Stop thinking... Yeah.
And by doing that, we put pressure on ourselves and we try the easy ways out, which are chemicals.
Yes, absolutely.
There are so many easier ways that we can create, and we'll talk about them in the weeks to come, about household things like vinegar and soap. I had a girlfriend. I love this. She was an amazing gardener. Her name was, she was German, Elsa, I think. And she would bend her aphid-covered rose tips into a bowl of dishwashing soap liquid, liquid with a little water in it, and let the tips just soak in that dishwashing liquid and soapy water for a couple of minutes or less, 30 seconds, and she'd do that to every tip of her rose, and it was fine.
Huh.
No harm, no
foul.
That's
brilliant. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think we have the same issue that we do with like body image and Instagram, yes, as we do with our garden.
Where does it say we have to be perfect? The Bible doesn't say it. The Bible doesn't say we have to be perfect. My mother did, but who cares? We know she wasn't, and neither are we. God love her.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's also very interesting, and I, you know, take this with a grain of salt, but there is an interesting coincidence where we finished World War II, when we had first started using chemicals and chemical warfare, and suddenly we had all of these extra chemicals and nothing to kill,
and chemists,
so
to
we
keep
turned
hired
them on our and chemists who needed jobs. So we turned them on ourselves and on our own yard. And it's not good.
It's not good.
We over-fertilize. We overuse chemical fertilizers in our gardens and in
our pesticides.
Agriculture. Yeah, well, specifically fertilizers, actually. It's not just pesticides, it's fertilizer. Yes. And it is one of the largest greenhouse or largest contributors to greenhouse gas.
Seriously?
And actually creating a dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico.
Really?
Fertilizer. Mm-hmm. All that extra nitrous, I think it creates nitrous oxide.
So it runs off and into the Mississippi and goes into the Gulf. I got it.
Exactly.
Oh, my
exactly.
Goodness.
Exactly. So, yeah, I know. But there are solutions. And what I love is that there are things that we can do in our own backyard. And we're making the world a better place.
We're trying to, anyway.
That power is unbelievable.
You know, if the Romans had known that the lead glass was making them nuts, and that was one of the downfalls and why the Hun could come in and overtake them, I'm sure they would have said, let's drink from something else.
You know,
take the lead out of our glass. And I'm wondering if...
Screw the lead merchants. We're going to do something else.
If 2,000 years from now, they're going to say, if they'd only just stopped with the chemicals already.
I mean, yes. Yes, I think so.
It's an interesting...
I think we're doing some very stupid things
I think we are. I think we've been doing stupid things for a long, long time. 14 feet of topsoil in the plains. Can you imagine? Your shovel would go down 14 feet. I can't even go there.
Oh God, it makes me so longful. Like I'm just longing for it. I want to step in it.
But there are movements like you and a whole bunch of farmers that are growing into organic who are on this road to fulfilling this destiny. And sooner or later, those farms will succeed where the giants won't. The giants will get played out.
Well, it's amazing the difference in production that you can get when you're producing on a scale that makes sense, that's mimicking nature. You're doing these food forests and building vertically. It's brilliant. I found the paragraph.
Good.
The Mary Oliver.
Good.
I think it'd be a perfect way to
end the season.
To tie this
I love
off.
This.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is from One or Two Things, Mary Oliver. The god of dirt came up to me many times and said so many wise and delectable things. I lay on the grass listening to his dog voice, frog voice, now, he said, and now, and never once mentioned forever. It's just delicious.
It's wonderful.
It makes me think of those 14 feet of soil.
It does. It does. I can't imagine the first farmers going out there. Do you know? Here they'd come from Europe and all over, and they're struggling to get across the United States, the Appalachians, and into Ohio and into Missouri and Iowa. And they get a plot of land, and there it is. The soil is so yummy. Mm-hmm. Canby is known as the garden spot because it has loam soil. I couldn't get over it when I was digging in the next to the highway, trying to beautify Highway 99 down here. And I was like, okay, we're going to have to mend this soil somehow. And I got down there and it was perfect loam. Perfect. Perfect. Mm. It was shocking to me. It was like, nobody has perfect loam. I've never heard of one place that had loam soil. It was either clay or silt or some god-awful something else. Canby, Oregon. Perfect loam soil. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's... We're all just now figuring out, oh, shoot. The Native Americans had it right all along. And we have to go back, eat our words, undo a lot. And learn.
Now and now and now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love you whole bunches.
I love you whole bunches.
Did you get your seeds?
I did.
Oh, good.
I did. I have them right here. Yes. I looked through them. I'm excited to plant them.
Good. Have you worked out
yep.
a have you worked out a timetable?
Yeah, I think that I'm gonna plant I thought that you were supposed to plan on the new moon, so that's when I was planning on planting.
The new moon is the dark moon, right? And then it goes and then it starts to wax again, right?
It starts to wax.
You can do that.
Yeah.
You can do that.
I can do that? Okay. Okay.
And for the 2 weeks after, Elizabeth.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Anytime
it's
growing
in the waxing period. Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do with the delphiniums, because they take a lot longer to germinate. And then this week it'll wax until a full moon. And then after that, I'm going to rest for 2 weeks and then I'll start the other stuff. But I'm in eight. You're in five.
Yeah. So I'm going to start in 2 weeks, which I think will be good, you know, and I'm going to start like my pansies and my marigolds, you know, and the things that I want big. Right away in early spring.
Your pansies like cold. Your marigold likes hot. Start your pansies today.
Okay. Got it.
Because you're going to want them to put them out in early spring and they can take some chill. And then your marigolds are a hot August plant. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Love you.
Sounds good. Love you.
What are you having for dinner? What did you have for dinner?
Oh, let's see. I made fried oyster mushrooms and turnips and chicken.
Okay. Chicken.
It was delicious.
You're eating chicken.
Well, yeah, long story, but we're eating chicken.
Okay. Fine.
What are you
crab
having?
And salad, I think.
Ooh, yum.
I got a deal on some crab. Mm. Yeah. I wish you were here.
Mm. I do too.
Hugs and kisses.
That sounds delicious.
Give Laura,
hugs and
give
kisses.
Forrest our love.
I will.
Bye, sweetheart.
Bye. Love you. Check us out on TikTok at Gardening Related, our website at gardeningrelated.com, and our Instagram at gardening.related. Ask us questions, leave your feedback, and give us some love.
Oh, I like that.